The word of the Lord from Leviticus chapter 23, verses 32 to 34. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's one of those funny sounding days that I noticed for years on calendars before knowing any better. I thought it was pronounced Yom Kippur, but it's Yom Kippur. It's a holy day established by God in Leviticus 16, still commemorated by Jews today. The day was rather elaborate, especially if you were the high priest. The Lord declared that the high priest was not to come into the most holy place of the tabernacle because Yahweh himself would be present in a cloud over the Ark of the Covenant, and to see God would mean death for the priest. However, God commanded the high priest to enter that place once a year on Yom Kippur after taking several steps. The high priest was to gather a bull, a ram, and two goats. He was to bathe in water and then dress in his priestly vestments, the garments set aside for when he served as mediator between God and the people. The high priest was to offer the bull as a sin offering. The animal's blood was shed, and the entire carcass burned as a sacrifice until only ashes were left. This was an offering to make atonement for the high priest and his household. Because this bull was sacrificed, God would not hold those sins against the high priest and destroy him when he entered the most holy place. The high priest would bring proof of the sacrifice. He would bring some of the blood of the bull into the most holy place, dip his finger in it, and sprinkle it in front of the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. The high priest would then return outside and cast lots over the two goats to determine what happened to each. He would sacrifice one of them as a sin offering. While the bull was just for the priest and his household, the sacrifice of this goat atoned for all the people. The priest would then take some of the blood of the goat into the most holy place and sprinkle it with his finger too. This was proof to God that a sacrifice had been made for the people, and God declared that he would not hold their sins against them. The high priest would also sprinkle blood on the altar. See, the people were unclean because of their sin, and their contact with the things of the tabernacle made those things unclean, and the Lord would not accept sacrifices from an unclean altar. No sacrifices would mean that the people were cut off from God, but because the blood of the goat was sprinkled on the altar, God declared the altar cleansed and suitable for offering sacrifices to him. The priest would then take the other goat, place his hands upon it, and confess all the sins of the people of Israel onto its head, effectively making that poor goat responsible for all the sins of the people. As it bore all the blame for all the things it hadn't done, a man led it away into the wilderness, never to be seen again. The Lord declared that the goat, therefore, bore the iniquities of the people away. And this was the original scapegoat. The high priest would then take off the priestly garments, come out of the tabernacle, and offer the ram as another burnt offering to make atonement for himself and all the people. After that, all the ashes and whatever was left of the sacrificial animals, that was carried outside the camp for disposal. All of this had a singular purpose, Near the end of Leviticus 16 in verse 34, the Lord declared, "This shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins." It was for atonement. The word appears 15 times in that chapter. That's why Yom Kippur is translated the Day of Atonement. However, a more literal translation would be the Day of Covering. Now, all of this might sound completely foreign to you, like it's taking place in a different world. If you're a hunter, you're accustomed to killing animals. But for a boy from the burbs like me, as far as I know, meat grows on trees in styrofoam packaging, and the idea of sacrifice leaves me a little queasy. More pervasive than that, though, is that you and I are taught all the time that blood is bad. If an athlete is scratched, he's got to come off the court until he's patched up. And whenever a doctor examines a wound, the gloves go on right away. For a lot of people in a sanitized culture like ours, the sight of blood is disturbing. Now, it's true that blood can carry disease, but if you think that blood is overall bad, well then, try living without it. In the Bible, God declares that blood is life. If the wages of sin is death, life is lost because of sin. Blood lost is life lost, and it's better for you if it's not your blood for your sin. And that is why, in part, God instituted sacrifices in the Old Testament. Instead of the people's blood for their sins, he would accept the blood of bulls and sheep and goats. And thus, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement or the Day of Covering. Each time the high priest sprinkled sacrificial blood, the Lord declared that the blood covered sin and cleansed sinners so that they might be his holy people. But in the end, 1,000 bulls or goats aren't enough to cover the sins of mankind. All of these animals were placeholders, types, pointing to Jesus. The bull sacrificed for the high priest and his household, that pointed to Jesus. For Jesus is our high priest who has entered the most holy place of heaven for us. He needed no sacrifice to cleanse himself as he was sinless. But because he became the sacrifice for our sin, the Father acknowledges him as our holy high priest forever. The scapegoat pointed to Jesus. Once the goat was loaded with the sins of the people, it was taken away into the wilderness. Once Jesus was baptized and took his place among sinners, he was immediately driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus, however, has a distinction of being the scapegoat who came back, because he is also the other goat, sacrificed for the sins of all the people. Jesus is likewise the ram sacrifice at the end of the day, for his blood is enough to atone for all sin. And as the remnants, the remains of the sacrifices were hauled outside the camp, so Jesus was crucified and buried outside the city. Now on the cross, surrounded by wicked sinners, he prays of them in our gospel reading, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He does this not in spite of being crucified, but because he's being crucified. On the cross, he is the high priest interceding for the people. On the cross, he is the sacrifice making atonement. His blood covers their sins. Atonement is a word full of rich meaning. It is about covering sin with blood. If you blanch the sight of blood, you want to hollow atonement of its meaning and make it just another word. If, however, you do so, you train yourself to ignore the enormity of God's love. To save you, he became flesh so that he would have blood to shed in order to atone for you, to cover your sin. Thus, the New Testament declares in 1 John 1 that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And 1 Peter 1 declares that you are among his people because you are sprinkled with his blood. Where the thoughts of blood might trouble you, remember that your sins ought trouble you more. Then rejoice. Rejoice that Christ became man and shed his blood to atone for you. And he considers that sacrifice totally worthwhile so that you might have the inheritance of heaven. In Christ, atonement is made, and you are the Lord's forever. Because in Christ, your robe is washed white in the blood of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.